After making sure that our film critic John Powers is no relation to Austin Powers, we asked him to review The Spy Who Shagged Me, along with the comedy Notting Hill.
When I was at Cannes a few weeks ago, there was a gargantuan video screen outside my hotel window. It was advertising Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. And each night as I tried to sleep, I was kept awake by the sound of its star Mike Myers blaring, "It's Cannes, baby," and "Oh, behave," over and over and over. So as you might imagine, I went to see this comedy sequel in the same generous spirit that a mongoose might approach a cobra. But honesty compels me to tell you that I laughed all the way through The Spy Who Shagged Me, a piece of inspired goofiness that's about 50 times funnier than the original film. It contains a buoyantly inventive performance by Myers in three different roles, tosses off dozens of jokes too wonderful to give away, and is bathed in a sweetness that's rare in a modern comedy. It's a great pop artifact. Everything takes place on the surface. That's not true of the new British hit Notting Hill, a lightweight comedy that's more interesting to think about than to watch. You probably know the story by now. Hugh Grant plays William Thacker, the owner of a struggling travel bookstore in London's gentrified Notting Hill neighborhood. One day, Hollywood superstar Anna Scott, played by Julia Roberts, comes in to buy a book, and Grant's character spends the rest of the movie chasing her, just as he chased Annie McDowell through Four Weddings and a Funeral, the obvious model for this picture. It was even written by the same man, Richard Curtis, who seems to work not with a computer, but a cookie cutter. Although the movie's ostensibly about the romance between William and Anna, its real theme is how Britain sees its relationship with America. In this case, America is embodied by a screen idol, wonderfully played by Roberts, who initially strikes us as rich, beautiful, and glamorous. But we soon realize that Anna's life is, believe it or not, rather empty. She's lonely, vulnerable, and intellectually shallow. She buys the travel book that's all photos. And her life is overwhelmed by triviality, as when a London tabloid freaks her out by running photos of her in the raw.
The thing that's so irritating is that now I'm so totally fierce when it comes to nudity clauses.
You actually have clauses in your contract about nudity?
Definitely. You may show the dent of the top of the artist's buttocks, but neither cheek. Or if there's a stunt bottom being used, artist must have full consultation.
You have a stunt bottom?
Well, I could have a stunt bottom, yes.
Wow, and are people tempted to go for better bottoms than their own?
Yeah, I would. This is important stuff.
Well, it's one hell of a job, isn't it? I mean, what do you put on your passport? Profession, Mel Gibson's bottom.
If Anna can be seen as America, William Thacker is Britain in all its charm, naivete, and decency. He may not be very successful, but he's literate and loyal to his friends. He lives in a real neighborhood, not an alienating cocoon of limos and luxury hotels. And though obviously starstruck, he's crazy for Anna after a five-minute meeting, his love never wavers. And in the end, his unaffected Englishness carries the day. The movie star ends up literally barefoot, pregnant, and gazing vacantly into the distance, while William sits beside her, reading a book. He has domesticated the Beverly Hills goddess, made her part of his small Notting Hill world. But while the story rather smugly portrays the triumph of Britishness, its unwitting theme is the triumph of Hollywood values. For the movie doesn't offer us a real Britain, but a marketable fantasy of a yuppified, single-generational 90s London that owes a lot to the TV show Friends. William owns a cozy bookstore and has mates who are all lovably unthreatening eccentrics. When the movie isn't showing him leaping off red double-decker buses, it's talking about stock deals and restaurants. There are no skinheads or fish and chips. And through it all, Hugh Grant plays exactly the same posh, handsome, stammering fellow who made Four Weddings and a Funeral an international hit. For all its seeming celebration of homely British values, this is a movie designed to make $300 million worldwide. Which is why I vastly prefer the honest hucksterism and loony anglomania of Austin Powers, a movie that's supposedly set in swinging London, but keeps jokingly showing us the hills of Southern California. The movie isn't about the real England, but about Mike Myers' infatuation with how 60s movies imagined England. Austin Powers sends up Carnaby Street and James Bond, but does so with an affection more personal and heartfelt than anything in Notting Hill. Sometimes silliness can be a higher form of love.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue.